Okay. You know the typical situation. It's the works Christmas outing, and everybody's tanked up. And Di and Trish have both had much too much to drink. They're both married to somebody else, but everybody's up on the dance floor dancing, and they start to hold each other much too closely. And this is a severe temptation. It's like Strictly Come Dancing curse, or whatever they call it. And both Di and Trish know they're being tempted. But the question, my question is, tempted by what or tempted by whom? That's my question this morning. Now, many, many years ago, when I was a youngster, there was an American comedian called Jack Benny. Anybody remember Jack Benny? A very dry sense of humor. And he had a reputation, which he cultivated as well, that he was very tight-fisted. He wouldn't spend money. His nickname was Moneybags, and he used to always say something like, if somebody had asked him to appear somewhere, well, is it a job? In other words, how much are you going to pay me? And he told this story, whether it was true or not, I don't know, that he was walking through Central Park in New York, and somebody came out of the bushes with a gun, held a gun to his head, and said, your money or your life? And Jack Benny said, nothing. And the guy said, your money or your life, didn't you hear me? And Jack Benny said, I did hear you, I'm thinking it over. Thinking it over. There was a lady I used to give a lift to work years ago, Sylvie, and she worked in the office, and one day she saw the petty cash and she took it. And the policy of the school was instant dismissal. She was sacked. I never saw her again. But she'd said that she saw the money, and she said this, I don't know what came over me. She was tempted. By what, though, or by whom? Do you remember Mel Gibson some years ago? He'd been a good husband for over 20 years. He'd been off the booze for many, many, many years. And then one day he's in a place and somebody says, have another drink. And he has another drink. Have one last one. And he has one last one. And a few hours later, he's arrested in a compromising position. He is stoned out of his head, drunk as a skunk. His marriage is over. His career is in free fall. It all began with somebody tempting him. Do you know what temptation is? You all know what it is, do you? I wonder, do you not realize you are being tempted? That's what's happening. Here's Jesus, last night on planet Earth. He goes to the Mount of Olives to pray. He alone knows what's around the corner. He knows what's coming. He knows he's going to be betrayed. He knows he's going to be crucified on the cross. And he knows why. The disciples are with him. He warns them. Why does he warn them? He says, now you need to pray that you don't fall into temptation. Why does he do that? Why does he feel the need to alert them to this danger? And the easy answer is, because temptation is powerful. That's an easy answer, isn't it? But where does it come from? Obviously, there are times, like with Mel Gibson, it comes from other people. Or just have one more drink. Or just stay a bit longer. Or they say something like, nobody will ever know. Nobody will know. It'll be our little secret. Just say nothing. But even when it comes from other people, where does it come from? Because actually, it's very difficult for one person to force another person to do something. It's very difficult for one person to compel somebody else to do something. With the situation with Jack Benny, your money or your life, he's thinking it over. Because actually, he does have a choice. He doesn't have to give the bloke his money. He could say, do what you like. Kill me if you like. It's a choice. Now, when I started about, 18, 19 years ago, trying to learn some deaf sign language, the sign for temptation was brilliant because it's basically being tugged away. And that's what happens, isn't it? That's what temptation is, isn't it? It's being seduced, it's being enticed off the right path. The path that you know deep down is the right path, and yet you know you're being tugged away. Jesus was God, come down to earth as a man, the God-man, and as a man, he was sorely tempted, severely tempted. But the Bible's very clear, he never succumbed. He never sinned, though. We are tempted to sin, and we do, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. He was tempted, and he never did, but he knew the power of temptation. The Bible, in fact, is clear. He was tempted in every possible way that you were tempted. And so he warns the disciples here. You need to pray. Watch and pray. Be careful, because this temptation can be so powerful. They need to pray, because if they don't pray, they could easily be tempted beyond what they can cope with, and they lose, big time. And maybe you know that. Maybe you can think of dozens of instances now in your own life where you failed. The temptation came, and it won, and you lost. But where does the temptation come from? Again, I suppose we could say the devil. Yes, that's true, and his demons. But we can never say the devil made me do it. We can't blame him, because there's always a choice, and every time you've given into temptation, you chose that. That's what you chose. Nevertheless, the devil is the supreme tempter. In Matthew 16, when Jesus starts to explain to his disciples the sort of savior he is, that he's going to have to suffer and die on the cross for them, and they start to, particularly Peter says, "No way." In fact, his exact words, he says, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." In other words, Peter is saying to Jesus, "Not on my watch, no way. This is not going to happen." And Jesus says straight away to him, "Get behind me, Satan." So Jesus sees that Peter is being tempted by the devil. But is that the end of it? In other words, have we come as far as we can when we say, where does temptation come from? Is that the final answer? Because the devil knows which strings to pull for me and you, doesn't he? He knows which notes to sing. You know, if you put a tuning fork, say, middle C tuning fork, 2, 5, 6. Oh, I just remember that. Now, I haven't used that since I was teaching physics. Oh, I remember 256 hertz. Amazing, the brain is amazing, isn't it? You put it on there, and suddenly, it makes a lovely sound of C. All the C strings on there will resonate. They'll all sing with him in unison. Well, the devil knows which strings to pull and which notes to sing for you. He knows you very well. He doesn't know you perfectly. He doesn't know everything. Only God knows everything. But he knows enough about you and enough about me to tug you in directions that he wouldn't dream of tugging me, because he'd be wasting his time with me. But he knows where to get you, and he knows where to get me. He knows there's something about us that's seriously warped. When I was in a previous church, there was a big guy there, and I wanted to try and befriend him and talk to him. And so he played bowls, old men's marbles, you know, bowls. And so I thought, right, we'll have a go. I mean, I am quite sporty. If it's got a ball in it, I could have a go. So we had a go, and they roll this little white ball called a jack. They roll it into the deep distance. And then he says, "You roll it now." And I rolled it just straight at this jack. Well, it's tremendous. I'm going straight at it. And then as it slows down, what does it do with the ball? It veers, because it's got a bias on it. And I end up about 20 feet from this little white thing I'm aiming at. And as soon as I did it, I thought, now there's us, though. That's not just a picture of me hopeless at playing bowls. That's a picture of my life and your life. We have a natural inclination to go away from God. We have a natural inclination to get lost. Luke 15, a lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. That's us. In Matthew 15, Jesus goes much further and says, you know what comes out of your mouth when we say, "Oh, I'm sorry, oh, I don't know what came over me, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it." Well, Jesus says, this is where you said it. Out of your heart, your mouth speaks. So the spiteful thoughts and the lust and the cowardice and the lies and the theft and the gossip, yeah, the devil tempts, but he knows what's in there. and he knows what's in there with you, because we're all the same. And he finds the right tug for you, and he finds the right tug for me, doesn't he? He presses the right buttons. You'll be sorely tempted at times, and despite your conscience screaming, no, you'll ignore your conscience. You'll smother it. You've done it. I've done it. And later, we may regret it to various degrees. Your conscience was God's allies shouting, don't go down this path, and you take no notice. Before you know it, you're embroiled in some gossip, or you're doing something, or watching something. You go with the flow, as they say. Winnie the Pooh. Why do I do it? How can it be? There's naught in us in everyone, but twice as much in me. I feel that. Do you? Do you feel that? Remember the song in the 80s, Lady in Red? Do you remember? Number one in the charts. Remember who sang it? Christy Berg? About his wife. Saw her in his party in a red dress, Lady in Red, this love song. How long after that? A couple of years after that, it's a scandal because he's had sex with the nanny of the children. Well, didn't he mean it when he sang Lady in Red about his wife? Probably. What's happened then? He was tempted. And he probably thought, I can cope with this, I can handle it, but he couldn't. Did he sit down one day and think, now, how can I wreck my marriage? He didn't. He was tempted. Or Hugh Grant and Liz Hurley, you know, one temptation, it's all it took for Hugh Grant to wreck it all. And for you and me, see, temptation is always in the one direction, away from God. As you sit there now, the devil has his demons all over the place trying to distract you so you won't take this seriously. It's always away from God. Whatever it takes for you and me to be tempted away from God, that's what the devil does. Distractions, not to trust God. And yet, you know, some of you know the story when three women on a Friday afternoon in my workplace attacked me for being a Christian, three friends really, and gave me a verbal hammering. But then on the Monday morning, one of them came back to talk on her own. Can I talk to you? Do you know why? Because deep inside she knew there was guilt. She knew she'd been tempted at different times, and she felt occasionally guilty. And that's us, you see. That's you. Isn't that you? Deep inside, we know we're not good. We know we've got it wrong. We know we've all yielded to temptation, don't we? We know that none of us lives at the acceptable standard that we judge everybody else by. We don't. We've all done our own thing. Sin is lawlessness. The most powerful, I think, description of sin in the Bible is lawlessness. I read last week in the book of Titus in the New Testament about myself. And this is what it said. At one time, we were all foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Have you seen that about yourself? Because I was on holiday last week, do some stupid things on holiday. I watched Grand Designs on TV. Not my favorite program. But there was a guy there. He was committed to this massive project. He already had a fabulous house, but he was committed to this massive project. It took him about 8 or 9 years or something. In the course of that time, he lost his marriage. But he said to Kevin MacLeod at the end, oh, it was worth it. I was thinking, you were tempted somewhere about 7 or 8 years ago. You were tempted, you failed, and you can't even see that this wonderful ego-building project has cost you so much. Titus goes on, we lived in malice and envy. And this is why Christ Jesus had to come into the world. Not just as an example of real love, that wouldn't be enough for us. Not just to teach us, but to do something that we sang about, the price is paid, to do something so sensational that the price is paid and I can enter glory. And you can as well. To achieve something in my place, so that, we've heard of Christians dying even yesterday, haven't we? so that for the one who trusts in Jesus, death doesn't just take me from my house, it takes me home, home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, nobody can crucify themselves. You could shoot yourself, you can hang yourself, you can poison yourself, you can't crucify yourself. We did that to him. We chose to sin, and because we choose sin, he chose the nails, he chose the cross. And right now, I don't know for sure, it might not be too late for you. Some of you have heard this for a long time. It might not be too late for you to come and just humble yourself before him and beg for mercy and just own up and say, Lord, this is me. I've been tempted. Perhaps you've been tempted at this very moment to take no notice of me. Well, come to him and just say, Lord, this is me. Have mercy and save me. Come into my life. Amen. Let's sing this great old hymn, Great is the Gospel. Father, please forgive us all the times we've been tempted, especially those times we've been tempted, even now, even in this service, and perhaps not even realized it. Lord, have mercy on us. Thank you again. It's possible to be forgiven all of our sins right now because of Jesus. Amen.